Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
It's getting late, but I'm still pretty worked up, baby.
Well, once I finish recording the pod, we'll lie down next to each other and gently graze each other's thighs and maybe slight thoughts of intercourse, but ultimately trailing off to sleep before any activity occurs.
That sounds good to me, baby.
What, dude? What's up, you gents? Welcome to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. I'm recording this on Tuesday night, the night before it comes out, when the Major League Baseball All-Star Game has occurred. The National League has defeated the American League for the first time in 10 years. I don't know why that matters, or no one cares. I mean, they used to make it so that the winner got home field advantage in the World Series, and now they're like, no, we don't want any stakes for this game. It's just a bunch of rich dudes playing baseball against each other for literally no purpose. Maybe somebody will get beaned in the head. But I like to say what's going on the day before the pod comes out, because that proves, you know, like it's like the hostage situation. They're like, oh, is the hostage alive? Hold up today's newspaper. I'm holding up today's newspaper so that you guys know I'm alive and I didn't record this 6 fucking years ago, dude. This weekend on Friday, I'm going to be opening for Giulio Gallerati at the Vulcan Gas Company. I wrote Vulcan Gas Lounge in my little Instagram note thing, but it's Vulcan Gas Company. It's a company that produces gas, and it's called Vulcan. Oh my God, I just clicked on a picture of Dua Lipa. Oh my God. But anyway, it's a really sick venue. I'm really excited about it. And then I think on Saturday, I might be going to a pool party at a hotel or something, dude. Do you guys think I'm cool? Do you guys think I'm sick as fuck, dude? Yeah, Vulcan Gas Company. I want to look that up. Like, why is it called Gas Company versus like Vulcan Gas Theater? Did it used to be a company that sold gas? And they're like, guys, this is just a highly flammable and environmental pollutant. We should switch products to words coming out of people's mouths. All right. That's the end of that comment. You know, I listen to my sets sometimes, and then when I listen back to my stand-up comedy sets, they're never as good as I thought that they were when I was performing. And they're also never as bad as I thought they were when I was performing. Like last weekend, I did a show at Stand Up New York on Saturday night, and it was late. And I was like, oh, that probably wasn't that great. And I listened back and I was like, that was pretty good. You know, working some new stuff, throw it in there, try it out. I got a new joke about how futile it is to fend off a shark attack, and what a dumb idea that to give someone advice. Oh, dude, just put your hand under the water and push their snout away. Oh, yeah. Good luck with that, bro. Keep me posted on your fucking snout strategy, kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel so good. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't the 4th of July on a fucking last Tuesday? Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. I was thinking, why didn't I record a podcast on the 4th of July? Because I was doing 4th of July things, dude. You know, I heard the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. I like to watch it, you know, or at least like the intro when they're not being gross yet. But it's supposed to start at noon, and on the right hand bottom corner of the screen, it said the hot dog eating contest is in a lightning delay. And I was like, all right, well, when's the lightning delay over? Apparently, someone told me that in Coney Island, they were deconstructing, is that the right term? Taking down the rafters that they had erected for the contest, and the spectators that had gone to Coney Island for the contest had suffered through the rain, and they started like riot or something like that. I don't know if they were physically rioting, but they were really upset, and they're like, oh, no, we actually have to do this. And then they did the contest like 2 hours later. So I know I had talked about it last week, but I didn't know that part. I didn't know that there was nearly a fucking riot, dude. And then I was watching baseball later. Sorry, I'm talking about sports a lot. Well, is hot dog eating contest a sport? No. It's fucking stupid, dude. So then I was watching a baseball game, you know, and I'm a Cleveland Guardians fan, and Shane Bieber is our best pitcher. And it's funny because he's pitching on the 4th of July. I understand that they have to follow the rules and everything, but sometimes they'll check the pitcher's hands between innings to make sure that they don't have like an illegal substance on them to give them better grip on the ball. And it's just funny to like check somebody for cheating on the 4th of July. You know, it's like one of the major holidays of the country of the year. It's like, Merry Christmas. Let me see your hands. Are you fucking cheating, you piece of shit? It's like, dude, can we just be nice to each other on the 4th? Nope. Check for cheating. Could be a real piece of garbage over here, kid. Dude, tomorrow I've got this It's like a USB light that you plug into your to a wall plug, and then it shoots like, you know, like stars, like fake stars. Yeah, obviously it's not real stars, Annie. It shoots a projection of blue stars. You can get a bunch of colors, but I got blue, onto your ceiling in your bathroom or in your home or whatever. Dude, I am so stoked about it. Oh my God, I'm so stoked about it. Because I like to have like Christmas lights strung up across the apartment. Like, not like to be a weirdo celebrating Christmas all year, but like white ones, you know, just like pretty. It's like the Christmas lights create an effect that nothing else can really create, no matter how much money you have. They're just sick, you know? So I was reading this review of this USB light. I love this. This guy goes, "There is nothing more splendid than stumbling into one's kitchen at 4 a.m. in search of water or whiskey or the last Little Debbie's, only to find the room awash in a field of stars. But of course, it's only a nightlight. And yet, for a brief moment, you feel that you have stepped into a child's dream and that anything is possible."
Oh, that's so funny.
"A childlike sense of wonder when you're stumbling around looking for whiskey. Oh, look, dude, that's sick." Very Big Lebowski kind of vibes, you know? I kind of love that. And then, on a much less fun note, I was reading this article about how, like, you know, the Great Resignation occurred a couple years ago, post-COVID, and now the tables have turned. I definitely see this as a recruiter, where companies have more of the power now, and it's like, okay, everybody needs to come back into the office a few days a week, fucking pieces of shit, sitting in your fucking jammies, get cracking, get... Although I do honestly work better at home than I work in the office. I mean, I have a good... I feel like that I have a strong work ethic. And I feel like it's best empowered when I'm sitting in my apartment, because the fact that nobody is watching me and my boss isn't here makes me work harder, because I'm like, I don't want to be, I just can't stomach the thought of taking advantage of people. And also, I don't have like distractions, you know, when you're in the office, you're like, "Oh yeah, how was your fucking, the weekend thing, dude? And oh, have you been to that restaurant in that one fucking neighborhood?" It's like, dude, what? Shut up. Let me just focus and work, you know? Like, sometimes I don't, at work, people will be like, "Hey, do you want to go up onto the cafeteria floor and eat together?" And I'm like, no, not really, dude. I'd rather just like sit and I like to eat salad and then read the newspaper on my computer and like read my favorite columnists like David Brooks and Maureen Dowd. That's my preferred lunch mode. Like, that calms me. That relaxes me. Getting to know about your fucking, you know, pet's new carrier, I don't give a fuck, dude. "Well, that's not a very... You're not giving your coworkers much credit for being interesting people. Maybe you actually have a lot to learn from them." You're right, honey. That's very true. I revise my statement. "You're goddamn right you do. Also, I'm cheating on you with your dad." Aw, dude, that sucks. "Yeah, well, he fucks me better." All right, Danny. Jesus Christ, dude. Anyways, in this article, they quoted this woman talking about kind of... you know, how she felt empowered a couple years ago and less so now. She said, "There was a moment of empowerment. There was a moment of, we're not going back and we're not going to take this anymore. But the truth is, yes, we are, because how else are we going to pay the bills?" We're going to start taking it again because we have bills to pay. I mean, that's how I feel my whole fucking adult life, bro. I got like $50,000 in student loans. Have had them my entire adulthood, you know? Like, the principal hasn't really gone down the whole time. And it's like, that just like cuts into so much of your income. And it's like, I'm not going to, oh yeah, I'm just going to retire and just like sit on those fucking loans. Like, no. And then I'm like, well, maybe I wonder if I didn't have student loans, if I would be financially in a much better place. Maybe I would. Maybe I wouldn't though. You know, maybe I'd just be buying booze at fucking Nurse Betty on the Lower East Side after my weekly Black Cat show on Fridays. By the way, Black Cat last Friday was sick, dude. My brother Ben, Palmer Trolls, packed the place out, of course, did his Palmer Trolls show in this coffee shop in the Lower East Side here in New York, and killed. Just, oh, it always kills. It's amazing, the trolling that he does. He gets like fucking senators and like former congressmen and women. He like gets them to sign these waivers that they definitely shouldn't be signing when they're being fucked with by Ben Palmer, but they sign. Oh, they sign. It was fun, man. All right, that's the end of that story. And then... by the way, if you haven't read Dua Lipa's newsletter, it's called Service 95. It comes out every Thursday. You can get on her email list. I also need to catch up on her. Fuck. There's just so much to listen to, dude. Fuck. I really was striving to listen to all of Dua Lipa's podcast episodes. Now she's like three seasons in, you know. I'm like on season two of Boardwalk Empire. Then I started watching the pilot of Righteous Gemstones. I'm like, I want to watch that now. It's just too much. I know this is like commonplace. But this is commonplace boring material. Everybody knows that there's a host of media and entertainment possibilities 2023, honey. Why is your voice so deep, sweetie? You wish your voice is deep. Fuck you. Fuck you. Okay. I don't know why that cracks me up. So Esther Perel, I think she's like a dating expert. I started following her on Instagram. She was interviewed by Dua Lipa. Actually, I saw this on Instagram. It was like a snippet of their interview. Oh, God forbid my interview had a... I mean, my podcast was on YouTube. I keep meaning to do that. I'll do it one day. Fuck you. So Esther Perel told Dua Lipa some questions that you could ask on a date. She said, what's a risk that you took that changed your life? Great question. Not even for a date, just with your friends or your family, you know, or yourself. If you could whisper something in the ears of your younger self, what would it be? I was trying to think about that. If I could whisper something in the ears, like whisper it into each ear separately, that seems like a fucking weirdo move, dude. What would it be? I'm trying to think. You know what I would whisper into the ears of my younger self? I think I would just say, don't try to be the thing that you think society wants you to be. Just go be the thing that you feel like you actually are, you know? I feel like I ultimately did end up doing that, but it took me a while. Like, I moved to New York when I was like 32. My friends, some of which are wildly famous now, they all started when they were like 16, 18, 20 years old. Or a lot of them did anyways. Not all, but most of them started much younger than me. And then, you know, it's like, well, then I go back and forth on that too. It's like, well, if I hadn't been constrained by my interpretation of what I thought society wanted me to do, then I wouldn't have had the experiences that I was able to have when I was in Atlanta and these corporate jobs and the friends that I met and I went to grad school at Case Western for social work. I didn't go into social work, but the people that I met there are my lifelong friends. I wouldn't take away that experience to like move to New York and be schluffing around at open mics when I was 22, you know? I mean, maybe I should have, but I didn't, and I don't really regret it, you know? So, I don't know. I guess I just stepped on my own idea there. maybe the pieces of advice are both. Like, don't feel constrained by what you think society wants you to do. But also, there's no magical path or route to getting to where you want to go. And if you take a winding or circuitous path to get there, don't beat yourself up about it. Because I definitely do that. Are you just giving yourself actual advice that you need right now? From yourself? Yeah, I am. Dude, I read this article about that. It's like, if you are trying to like work through some issues or trying to like do self-improvement or self-coaching, if you say things out loud, you experience it in a different way than if you just think it. So you can actually kind of like talk out loud to yourself and self-coach and help improve simply by talking out loud, which is another reason I think this, you know, doing this podcast, even though it's not the world's biggest podcast by a mile, I think it's still probably healthy for me to, or healthy for anybody. You know, you can start a podcast, or you don't even have to start a podcast. You can just talk out loud in your apartment or house about, hey, how are things going? What do I want to work on? What can I get better at? What should I stop beating myself up over? You know, like shit like that, dude. That's sick. Oh, your podcast might be improving with this self-improvement shit. Are you just trying to sleep with Dua Lipa?
Yeah.
Fair.
Okay, couple more questions here from Esther Perel. What's one message that you received about love or relationships that has stood on the forefront for you?
That's a tough one. Don't know. Maybe it's that you don't really need it.
I think that you can get love over the course of your adult life from your friends, obviously, but also maybe through a series of lovers. You know what I mean? I don't think you necessarily need to have like, oh, this is my one person. We're going to be together for 25 to 30 years. That seems to be what society expects of us. And I know that there are people that have long-term relationships and that is what they actually want. But, you know, it's like just this perception. You have to do this one thing. I don't know. I talked to my mom about this at a wedding recently. She's like, yeah, we do wish you would find, you know, a great woman and settle down to settle down with, but it's not in the cards for everybody. And I was like, that's really wise, Mom. Thank you. See, my mom supported me. Thanks, Mom. Your mom doesn't listen to this shit. You swear too much. Fair. Fucking fair. And then, two more questions. What's the most generous thing you've ever done? What is the most generous thing I've ever done? Started this podcast for you pieces of shit that listen? I'm just kidding. It's going to be you answer a question about how generous you are by just being a complete asshole to the only people on the planet that listen to your little creative output time. I'm just kidding, dude. You guys are amazing. Thank you for listening to this. So I don't know what the most generous thing I've ever done is. I don't know, dude. Just fucking being cool. And then what's the most generous thing somebody has ever done for you? I know the answer to this one. When I was going to move to it, this is all kind of like career and, you know, life path talk today, thanks to Dua Lipa's amazing newsletter. But when I was going to move to New York, my sister organized a like roast for me, but also like gathered money from our friends to like pay for a stand-up comedy workshop when I first moved up here. And I'm still doing stand-up comedy in New York 15 years later, regardless of the level of success that I have. Hey, Vulcan, this weekend, Danny, don't beat yourself up, buddy. So yeah, that might be the most generous thing. So thank you, Becky, my sister, and my friends in Atlanta. I'm not going to name you. I'm not going to name all my fucking Atlanta friends. Don't get your hopes up, you pieces of shit, okay? I'm sorry I keep calling people pieces of shit. I'll thank Kimberly. She's nice. All right, anyways. Okay, you know what? I was going to read another article and stuff like that, but I think we're just going to call it a John, you know? 16 minutes in. I was going to do a little bit of quotes from my favorite Farnham Street newsletter, the Brain Food newsletter comes out every Sunday morning. Highly recommend getting on that list. Just Google Farnham Street Brain Food. It's sick, dude. You know what? I will read this tiny thought that Shane Parrish calls his little musings in this newsletter. The least effective form of patience is passive. A person who is passively patient waits for the universe to give them what they think they deserve. 5 years from now, they'll still be waiting. Passive patience violates Newton's third law, which states for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. No action, no result. The world is not indebted to you, and no one is destined to come your way, tap your shoulder, and present you with the golden opportunity you've been waiting for. It doesn't work that way. The most effective form of patience is active patience. Active patience implies taking significant steps today to set yourself up for future success. It's about strategically preparing for what lies ahead, saving more than you spend and investing wisely, or spending some money on drinks at Nurse Betty, which is fun, developing the necessary skills for future job prospects, choosing kindness over cleverness, and so on. Oh, kindness over cleverness. That can be a tough one for comics to do sometimes. Ooh, boy. Time for some soul searching, Palmer. Here's the key lesson. Active patience puts the world on your side. If you go positive and go first, and you do so consistently, the world does a lot of the heavy lifting for you. Active patience puts the world on your side if you go positive and go first. I think about that too. I had a stressful situation in my personal life, and I was like, oh, fuck. How am I going to act when I'm in this stressful situation? And I was like, go positive and go first. And that's what I did, and it went fine. So even when it's hard, you know, even when you're like, oh, I was slighted. I'm the right man. I don't have to be nice. No, go positive and go first. You're not sacrificing your dignity. And in fact, an argument can be made that you're enhancing your dignity. Okay, Palmer? Thanks for listening to the fucking pod, you Jones. I hope this inspires you to live your best life and send me thousands of dollars, dude. Dude, just if you like this podcast, dude, just give me a shit ton of fucking money, dude. You know what I mean? Just wire me cash, bro. I'm just kidding. Follow me on Instagram, Danny Palmer NYC, Vulcan Gas Company. This Friday, tickets are on their website, or you can go to juliogallerati.com and get tickets there. And Black Cat's still occurring with a guest host. That'll be fun. You know, all the things, dude. Just fucking check out my Good Vibes videos. Make sure your doctor is in a fucking sick neighborhood. That was my Good Vibes video that I released today. My doctor's in Tribeca. That's sick, dude. Dude, you want to go to a doctor in some fucking lame-ass neighborhood, dude, where it's like a bunch of like industrial strip mall things, you know when you drive through like the outskirts of like Cleveland and it's a lot of industrial parks, a lot of low slung one-story white buildings, and it just doesn't look like it looks kind of sad, dude. You know, you don't want your doctor there. If you live in Cleveland, you want your doctor to be like working in the terminal tower. or the KeyBank Tower. All right, dude. All right, that's sick. All right. Thanks for listening to you fucking Johns. I mean, I feel like if I go 7 to 8 more seconds, then it'll show up that this is a 20-minute pod, which maybe will drive up the listenership. I mean, last week, a lot of people fucking listened. I was like, oh, shit, look at that. More people listened to my podcast last week than went to my comedy shows. So that's something. Oh, 20 minutes. There we go. All right, we're calling it a John. Come over here and lick my thigh. All right, that's slightly weird. Is that all you want me to do? Lick my thigh, each inner thigh, one time, and then we're going to sleep. You're not getting any action. I just want a quick thigh lick. All right, baby, you got it. Thanks for listening to the pod, you jeans. Come.